Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, the Rio Olympics wrap up on Sunday, and Shira Springer, Olympics columnist for the Boston Globe, has been our woman on the ground in Rio, and she joins us now. Hi, Shira.
Hello.
So I want to talk to you about these last few days of these great Olympic Games, but we got to start off with basically what's turned out to be kind of an international geopolitical incident with U.S. swimmer Ryan Lochte. He finally issued an apology saying, quote, "I want to apologize for my behavior last weekend, for not being more careful and candid in how I described the events of that early morning." And those events, of course, being his claim that he and other fellow U.S. swimmers were held at gunpoint and robbed. It turned out that was not the case at all. How is this playing out in Rio, Shira?
Needless to say, not well. You have a lot of angry Brazilians, and particularly a lot of angry members of the police force here, who feel that Ryan really played on the perception that street crime, violent street crime, is rampant in this city. Now listen, there have been legitimate incidents of a violent crime committed against Olympic visitors and even Olympic athletes, but at this point it seems very clear that Lochte made up this story of an armed robbery. So a lot of angry Brazilians, a lot of angry IOC officials, and quite frankly, a lot of angry Americans, because you know what? This takes away from all that the U.S. team is accomplishing here in Rio. So all of this has become not just a huge distraction, but a huge embarrassment.
Well, you know, I mean, it seems as if the only thing that Lochte had been truthful about was the fact that he and his fellow swimmers on that night were drunk, to be perfectly honest. He initially hadn't mentioned anything about vandalizing the gas station's bathroom, which was later caught on camera and then later revealed that's what happened. Of course, we should say Ryan Lochte is back in the United States. A fellow U.S. swimmer says he's going to pay roughly $11,000, I believe, to a charity as well. But I want to read a couple other lines from Lochte's apology. He said, quote, "It's traumatic to be out late with your friends in a foreign country with a language barrier and have a stranger point a gun at you and demand money to let you leave." I mean, to your point a little earlier, one of the things that brings the world together around the Olympics and the Olympic Games is that it's supposed to be a time of global fellowship and athletes as ambassadors. And yet news outlets around the world, I saw France 24 saying Ryan Lochte, the ugly American, or the new face of the ugly American.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely accurate at this point. There are certain things you do as a responsible grown up when an incident like this happens that clearly Ryan Lochte didn't do. This is a guy who is an attention seeker from the start. Let's not forget that he arrived at the Olympics with his hair dyed sort of a shocking hue of silver blue. This is a guy who had his own reality TV show, What Would Ryan Lochte Do? And I think he saw an opportunity here in some respect to seize that spotlight. It was very misguided on his part. And then he issues this apology. I mean, just to go back to the apology, he kind of apologizes without actually saying what he did wrong.
Well, he says he accepts responsibility for my role in this happening and have learned some very valuable lessons. Well, congratulations, Ryan Lochte. You learned some lessons, but I'm wondering, could there be any further repercussions? I mean, could Brazil press charges?
I think the most severe penalty for Ryan Lochte and his swimming teammates may be what the USOC and USA Swimming does. I think a suspension for all of them is coming down the pike, because you can't behave this way and while you're representing the country, while you're representing USA Swimming, and not suffer some repercussions from the organizations that sent you there and fund your training.
Right. Well, let's get back to talking about the things that the Olympics should be about, which is joyful and inspiring feats of athleticism. And I'm talking about Usain Bolt's 200-meter final run. You were at the Olympic Stadium last night for that. Was it as electric as his 100-meter win?
I would say, honestly, not maybe a shade. Not as electric, just because it was sort of his middle race, even though it's the race that he cares about the most, or so he says. Also, he's going to race again tonight. So I think there was sort of like, okay, he's got to get this one done, and then he can go 3 for 3, hopefully, with the 4x100 relay. That all being said, there is not a time when Usain Bolt takes the track when the atmosphere is not heightened. Part of that is anticipation of what he's going to do, because when he steps on the track, there's always the possibility of a world record. And part of it is just his personality and the way he embraces the moment. And that's sometimes the most fun part to watch. It certainly lasts longer than his races. I mean, he was racing for all, you know, less than 20 seconds last night, finished in 1978. I mean, the whole theater of it is part of the fun of being at a Usain Bolt race. And the interesting thing was, as we were actually after the race waiting to talk with him about the race and kind of get his feelings on it, the United States Olympic Committee and USA Swimming were releasing statements about Ryan Lochte. I mean, it was just sort of this interesting also dichotomy of Olympic events occurring on one night. You have Ryan Lochte and the embarrassment there, and then all that you hope the Olympics should be, and Usain Bolt celebrating on the track and being celebrated.
Yeah. Well, Shira Springer is the Olympics columnist for the Boston Globe and our woman on the ground in Rio. It's been great to check in with you during these games, Shira. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.